All right. All right. We are wrapping things up.
Let's go
out
nuts.
Here at Guys Night Out.
Take some calls, bro.
Crank this.
Let's do, man. Let's go back to the station and stay
Let's
on all night.
I'm in. I am in. I'll meet you there.
Want to do a little deep night ticket?
Absolutely. I will meet you there.
Well, let's talk to the intention.
Don't like leave.
No,
I
won't.
If I'm a little late, you stay there.
I will. All right. I will. It is on, man. Get the Sterminator in on this.
Bob's in.
What?
We're going back to the station. We're staying
let's
up all
go.
Night.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to do a little deep night ticket.
We could do the, what was the round table where we all assembled? When America took action against Iraq. Remember that
yes,
one?
Yes, the war round table.
Man, I don't know. Yes.
There's with also Corby a guy's night out that night, right?
With Corby and I, yes, there was. And Corby and I were both about three sheets to the wind. And we had to go down there and do that.
When are we going to spend some money and buy some missiles?
Is that going to be on the top 25 moments?
If that, that's got to exist somewhere, the fact that we had to go do the war roundtable. He and I.
Yes.
Breaking.
Who better?
Some
better
roundtable.
So there's some bombs and stuff over there. And
speaking of bombs, I'm bombed.
Maybe.
And we had to do it for like 4 hours.
Corby, help us put it just into perspective.
And we were at Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, help us put this into perspective while I put my head down on the desk.
Man, what a weird idea from Kat.
Oh, that helped God. Make you what you are today.
No, it didn't. You didn't do a damn thing.
Snake.
Oh, no. Nobody even remembers it.
We're going to war.
Except us.
Round table, assemble.
All right, well, let's say hello to the intentional groundlings who are up here tonight.
Live. Why have they never come to a remote before?
I don't know, but here they are.
Because Kat needed someone to break down because the engineers are leaving early.
That's true.
It is David Moore of the Dallas Morning News. It is Robert Wolanski of the Dallas Morning News. One, the only sports writer I've ever seen who can toggle so effortlessly from the NFL to the NBA. The other, a civic legend.
Probably your dream as a kid. Someday, Dad, I want to be a civic legend.
Regional treasure.
He's super proud.
He makes Harry refer to him that way. It's not Dad.
Right,
Mr. Civic Legend.
That's
and when you guys
how I
are
the mayor referred to
me. Mayor.
When you guys are like having your prayers before dinner,
bag.
And he mentions to you or he references you as my son, civic leader, or just civic leader. It's not even my son.
What prayers before dinner?
I don't know, man. One of those weird synagogue things.
Somebody else.
Weird synagogue.
Weird synagogue things. Yeah. All right. Let's see if you can dig this hole, Mark. Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Take a deep dive into that a little bit now.
Corby.
All right. Well,
always either, a big it's hit. Either cancer speaking jokes or the, Jew jokes.
Whoa.
Well, speaking of...
Whoa. Why would you say that?
Look to your right.
Short, well, look here, Robert.
Short for Jewish.
Because today is Robert Wolanski's 50th birthday, everybody!
Oh, and he's handling it well.
Who it is.
He's handling it well. This is good.
And there is your cake, kind sir. Your family is right behind you. Look at this. There's wife and mom and son and dad. Everyone's here. Mistress, they're all back to the corner.
Eric Celeste is here. Wow.
Chris Wagner's here.
Whoa.
Vogs.
Wow.
The writing elite of Dallas has joined us.
Yes, the literati and the Kanye Shinty right here tonight.
Well, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Sing a very nice rendition of Happy Birthday for Robert's 50th. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert. Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Terrible.
Yeah.
Why am I drenched in an inordinate amount of sweat?
You really are.
That's a very unexpected. I'm amazed I didn't curse.
Yeah.
That is quite a cake there.
It is. I was not big on celebrating my birthday. In fact, I took it off my Facebook page. And,
that's a touchy
speech. Yeah, but you know what? It didn't get taken off of mine.
Well, this is unexpected and...
And when it's on mine, and I know you, it gets announced.
I'm overwhelmed.
Boy, look at that cake, too, Robert. Boy,
Mike Rollins.
Look at that sweat.
There's a headline about a homeless facility that I wrote about, so that's a very apt on my 50th birthday.
It is literally a newspaper.
You have Jason Garrett on there, Jason so that's Garrett cool.
I believe there's an announcement about Amari. This was just made about the Amari Cooper trade.
is there any Ebola in there?
Oh, man, look at this.
Oh, a poster.
Oh, a poster. Look at this. It's terrible.
Look at that.
There's pictures of me from elementary school.
The Speedo is a nice look.
What is that Speedo, bro?
That was the Thomas Jefferson High School official Speedo.
Oh, my.
I'm so mad.
That is awesome.
Well, this is
great. Terrible.
It's great.
It's
wonderful.
He looks
a little like Nick Cage there in the tuxedo.
Yeah, you kind of do. God, you had a lot of hair.
I did.
That's impressive.
It just moved south.
Well, buddy, we love you. Happy birthday. Happy 50th.
We're glad to have you as part of the ticket.
Well, thanks.
Yes.
I really regret that we came to our first remote. Thanks.
This is all a David Moore production, too.
No. Michael,
that was just Michael
here.
That did that?
Michael over here. Bob?
Michael did that?
Yep.
You did
it's all
this?
Michael.
This is just so you could come be on the radio.
I fought it. I fought the whole thing.
I will not honor him. They will honor me.
What about me?
See, I always knew you guys hated each other. Been talking about that for weeks, and now this thing's bound to blow up.
All right, well, let's cut that open. Let's have some cake. Take a break. You guys can do some intentional grounding coming up next.
Yeah.
My man!
Stand up!
Well, if it's 8:12 on a Wednesday night and David and I are sitting at Twin Peaks, it must be time for intentional grounding. I'm Robert Wolanski, the city columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and I am joined as I am every Wednesday night, usually an hour earlier, by David Moore, the Dallas Cowboys beat writer for the Dallas Morning News. David, it's not often that we do the show from a remote, much less Twin Peaks, much less surrounded by my entire family, many old friends, and three pictures of me from my childhood.
You're taking all this very well.
I am now. Wait till later. And the mayor is shoving a piece of birthday cake in my face.
Well, I think he's about to shove more in your face, actually.
This is the
we've discussed.
This is... If I'd have known this was going to happen, we would not be on remote.
That's why you didn't know it was going to happen.
We would be sequestered in the studio because I have made every effort.
Now you have to sit here and take it.
I have made every effort to make sure that nobody knows it's my birthday.
And you have to act somewhat gracious because you'll come across looking like a big jerk.
I'm trying to be as gracious as I possibly can. I am still drenched in sweat, but surrounded by nothing but the most warm and wonderful and affectionate people, and Corby lingering over my shoulder.
Thank you.
So full of it.
I know, isn't he?
It's amazing. I'm just happy to be at Twin Peaks.
Right? Exhausted to the mayor here. It's a little thing.
Robert, you want to introduce
our guest,
please?
Is this what it takes to get the mayor of Dallas, Mike Rawlings, just walked in?
That's right. The mayor's in the house.
If you would like to come see the mayor for the 5 minutes that he will be spending at Twin Peaks tonight.
Oh, I thought I was doing the whole show.
Oh, no. He's here a little longer than that.
Are you doing the whole show? You can do the whole show. Here.
Robert, do you know how much he costs for 5 minutes?
You should see what it costs for 10.
Yeah.
But I'm upski.
Well, it's good to see you. I've spent all day looking at
you. No,
you
have not.
I have.
You spent half a day.
You glared at him.
No, I was there all day.
And no, you were not. You left. He's talking about city council.
I was in my office at city council watching
TV. No, that doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
It does not count. You have to be in the city council chambers themselves. I was there from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You were there for half the day.
I was at City Hall from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m.
No, he was doing legs and eggs down at the men's club.
Robert, happy birthday.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is that great, Margaret? Margaret, what were you doing 50 years ago today?
Oh, okay, man.
Margaret is Robert's wonderful mother, the best mother. My mother passed, so now I need to adopt this Margaret, okay? She is the best, okay? What were you? It was amazing.
This is Christmas call-in show, Mayor Mike Rawlings.
Did he come out ball-headed like that?
And sweating just like that.
Yes, I was as wet then as I am now.
Happy birthday, Robert.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday. You are a civic legend.
Oh, God.
Did anybody ever tell you that?
No, nobody.
You are. And because
what do you have with you there, Mayor?
Thank you, David, for asking. Geez. First of all, on a serious note, David and I lost a good friend this week. Okay.
Yes, we did.
Bryce Wiggin passed away. Yes. And I just want to say a shout out to his family. Bryce was one of great, great Dallasites. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, I was just holding his. I have his card sitting on my desk at City Hall, and I was thinking about him just today. He was on your Confederate Monuments Task Force.
He had a strong point of view, a great, classy man, a warm friend of. We go to the same church, so he was a great.
He's a wonderful man. Yeah,
he really
great
was.
Family.
So,
just so.
But anyway, I'm so sorry about that. On your birthday, but I just needed to say thank you.
No, I prefer to talk about the greatness of Bryce than me.
That's right, exactly.
If you don't mind.
But I'm doing something I have never done before.
Don't start now.
No, I am.
I decided to break out.
There's a special little thing here at the end, and I have a frame with a piece of paper in it that I wrote.
Official.
And my signature
official
and a
stamp
seal.
Of the city. Yes.
So this is a special proclamation. Can I read it to you?
Please do.
Yes, you can.
Whereas Robert Elliott Wolanski was born 50 years ago today, on October 24th, 1968, to Margaret and Hishel Wolanski. Okay.
Is that your Yiddish accent?
That's
like the worst roadshow Fiddler on the Roof I've ever heard.
That's the Poconos right here.
Can I just say something real quick? So Rudy Bush, my longtime editor and friend, wanted to do something at the office, get a cake at the office. I said, no, I really prefer not to have a cake at the office. I'd like to not acknowledge my 50th birthday. Rudy was not happy with me. They were going to bring a cake to City Hall. I said, Rudy, please don't. I've been through a lot this year. I just don't want to do that. So this is awesome.
You should have done it. You should have done it.
You
should not turn these people away. See what happens.
Always get worse.
You could have taken the easy way out.
I don't think it was an either-or proposition.
You brought this on yourself.
Mr. Mayor, please continue.
Second, yes,
please.
Thank
would you
Corby.
Be quiet?
Thank
Good
you.
Gosh, Robert.
Thank
it's
you.
Corby talking.
Whereas he officially became a man 13 years later during a bar mitzvah at Congregation Sereth Israel. Followed by a reception.
Did you like the Hebrew pronunciation?
Followed by a reception. Take rain tonic, please. Thank you. Followed by a reception.
His fourth. Married. His fourth, if you will.
Followed by
ordering
a reception.
My wife around.
At the family farm in Farmersville.
Farmersville.
Farmersville. Is there really a farm in Farmersville?
Yes.
Okay.
My grandfather bought it.
It sounds like a Toyota commercial or something. It is believed to be the first and only bar mitzvah party to include hayrides and bonfires. And whereas Wolanski is a 1986 graduate of Dallas ISD's Thomas Jefferson High School, where he became a cheerleader.
It was for a girl.
To the deep dismay of his father.
Can I tell you what he said when I told him I made the cheerleading squad?
What did he say?
I said, Dad, I've been on the swim team for many years. And I said, Dad, I'm on the cheerleading squad. And the only thing he said was, don't bring home those effing pom-poms. And he didn't say effing.
To the deep dismay of the father, as part of a failed pursuit of a young woman who is also on the squad.
Hockaday's own Elizabeth Robillard.
You didn't even convert. Did not
convert.
She
did not expect a shout-out tonight.
Fourth and one, he doesn't convert.
But at least I tried.
Okay. Whereas he spent years writing for the Dallas Times-Herald and later the Dallas Observer. Before selling his soul to become an establishment journalist at the Dallas Morning News. At this point, we say boo.
or we say sellout.
Where he now writes exclusively about trees.
Was this just written today?
Old houses, cemeteries. The awful year he spent living in Los Angeles. The Bronco Bowl. His grandfather's Deep Ellum Auto Parts Store. His father's South Dallas Auto Parts Store. And his son, the Great Harry.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for reducing me to all the cliches that I have become.
Whereas he is the only man alive who can pull off a skinny tie and a weird cowboy hat.
True.
And whereas the Dallas Morning News, because of this, recently added 16 new subscriptions after Walensky was pictured topless in the newspaper.
That's true.
Okay.
And you should see the email I got yesterday about
and
that.
And whereas Walensky's permanently dour face belies the sensitive soul of a man who loves his city and who serves his fellow citizens with mostly high-quality reporting and commentary. Now, therefore,
you didn't write this.
I didn't. Now, therefore, I, Michael S. Rawlings, mayor of the city of Dallas, and on behalf of the Dallas City Council, do hereby proclaim, this is what I don't do, Wednesday, October 21st, 2018, as Robert Walensky Day.
Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa!
That's a...
Just to be sure you understand this, Robert, basically the mayor is giving you 3 hours until the clock turns over. This is your day. That's what kind of guy he is.
Free parking.
Yeah, when it's Gordon's turn, he's going to do it at 6 o'clock in the morning. Right. So Gordon can really enjoy the full day. Well, thank you. This is... I'll stop talking about moving now. This is really something else. I'm overwhelmed by this.
We love you. The city of Dallas loves you. All these people love you. Okay, Robert, keep coming. Okay.
Thanks.
Really.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm still writing that Ridgecrest column tomorrow, though. Just so you know.
Say anything you want to say about me.
You don't care. You're a short timer. I saw it on exhibit today. If you want to talk about a mayor who has no patience for bull anymore, it's this man. You should have seen him in action today.
Different from 5 years ago, right?
Man, he is not out to make friends on the city council anymore.
All right, there's one more luminary that reached out. It's not only the mayor. It's someone of a tad bit higher stature than our esteemed mayor. No offense.
Oh, no, that's okay, Corby.
This is from your old friend, Don Henley. Don Henley, of course, from the Eagles. And he and Robert go back a long time, as Robert trashed Hotel California when he was 4 years old.
It was the reason I became a rock critic, to talk about how much I couldn't stand the Eagles.
Right. So here is the note from Don. Hey, Robert, I'd hoped to be there with you this evening, not only to celebrate your victorious milestone, but also maybe the off chance to vandalize Reiner's car. He's got it coming, you know. He's still alive, isn't he?
Barely.
He didn't look so good the last time I saw him. I've attached a photo of him to this email. I wish you could somehow transmit it over the radio so people could see what a dork the Rhines was in his 20s. It's hilarious.
Has this become all about Mike? I like that. I prefer this. Especially because he's right here.
But I don't want to pick on him. He's still just a kid. But I can't be there tonight because, one, it's raining. Two, the second game of the World Series is on TV.
Go Red Sox.
And last but not least, I just got home from a tour that began in March, 54 shows, 2.5 hours each, a tour that none of you Peckerwoods would have made it through, not even close. So I want to impart a little hard-earned wisdom to you this evening, Robert, now that you've been the recipient of a miracle, for which I know you're immensely grateful. as are your family and friends, and as I understand it, you actually have friends in spite of yourself.
Wow. Now that's funny. That's good. Good humor.
Cancer take me.
Robert, there comes a time in a guy's life, even a tough guy's life, yeah, even in the life of a manly man like yourself, or even Reiner, who I first met in the Whole Foods parking lot when he vandalized my car. Anyway, I know this is going to be tough for you. There comes a time when a man has to trade good whiskey for wheatgrass juice and cranberry nectar. A man sometimes even has to drink water, as wimpy as I know that may seem. There comes a time when a man has to get down on the floor and contort himself into ridiculous positions that have ridiculous names, like cobra and camel pose. He doesn't know me. A time when a man has to actually eat vegetables. Ask Reiner. There comes a time when a man has to bid farewell to daily planking and just do the plank daily. This doesn't mean he's any less of a man. It just means, well, it just means that life will be a little less exciting. But at least you'll remember what you did, and for better or for worse, you'll be here to see what happens next. Wishing you a happy, healthy, boring birthday from the comfort of my lazy boy. See you at the gym, and Reiner at Whole Foods, Don Henley.
Oh, bravo, bravo.
That's lovely.
Now, let's hear from the Pope.
I started the day with my rabbi.
I know. Good move.
My rabbi was doing the invocation at City Council.
She was, and she did a great job.
So,
she wanted no part of this, though.
Yeah. The hell with all of you, the rabbi said. I look, to everybody who's here, everybody's listening, this is, I've always dreamed of spending my 50th birthday at a Twin Peaks. So this is a dream come true. To spend it with all of you is just gravy. This proclamation, Don Henley's email, this cake, my family, my friends, and the fact that we don't have to talk about the Cowboys for a half hour has been an extra bonus. So I just don't know how to say thanks enough. It's this is the last thing I wanted, at least I thought the last thing I wanted, but it has warmed my heart far more than I ever could have imagined. Thank you to all of you. And my friend Michael Thumb for putting this together, my childhood friend.
Je t'aime.
And Mr. Mayor, thanks. It's last person I expected to see walking through that door is everybody in this place. So thanks.
Happy birthday, man. We love you.
Thank you.
Let's get some cowboy talk going here. What do you say?
That's when right. We come back, we're going to talk about cowboys. Next
Amari
on Intentional
Cooper.
Grounding.
Amari.
And we're back.
Hey, we're back.
Yes, we are.
Welcome back to Intentional Grounding. It's 8:33 here on the ticket. This is the... I could have sworn we were supposed to talk about cowboys while we're out here.
Well, we can do that now. But first, sitting to your right is Chris Wagner.
He is. Look at that.
Wait a minute.
Is he wearing a Beastie Boy?
No, it's LL Cool J.
Oh, LL Cool J. I thought from over there it looked like Harry's old Beastie Boy shirt.
Right era and right label.
Yes.
Different guy.
As soon as I texted Chris, he said, I would love to do it on one condition.
That I get on the radio.
You have to have me on because I'm a radio whore.
That is exactly what I said.
So... At that point, I was concerned that anyone would come out, so I said, okay.
Well, now I know why Davey Lane's here.
But first, before we go to Chris, we may have someone on the phone who wants to say something. Is that correct, Killer?
Please tell me it's not Mike Ducey singing a song. I beg to God it's not Mike Ducey. No, I'm kidding.
Hello? You're now on the air.
Hey, Robert.
Hey.
Can you hear me? This is your awesome sister-in-law, Holly.
Oh, hey, Holly. What is this? This is my life? Is this an episode of This Is My... I'm not dead.
Pretty much.
No. I know, but I am an old woman, and I'm going to bed soon because I'm in North Carolina. So I wanted to...
What's going on here,
teacher,
Holly? It's lovely.
So I'm wiped out, but I wanted to call and tell everybody that Robert's an awesome guy, which you all know, and he's 50 years young, and he's a awesome guy and a great... brother-in-law and uncle, and a great brother to my husband. So, my husband unfortunately probably can't call because he's in another time zone right now. But just wanted to call and tell everybody hello. And and wish Robert a happy, happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Holly. I appreciate that. Please tell the kids hello from me, and thank you as well. My brother is in Germany, I believe. He's a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps.
He's going to hate that you said that. No, no.
He always hates
don't
that I say that
my...
he's a lieutenant colonel.
Yeah, he hates
Corps,
that.
Very,
no,
very
no, yeah.
He's just lashing out now to try to take the attention from himself is all he's doing.
He's like, damn it, my brother.
But Holly, what do you think about the Amari Cooper trade?
I
and what did you think of Garrett's call to eat up those final minute
final
12
seconds,
right?
Yeah,
I don't, you know, whatever you guys think is great.
All right. Well, thanks, Holly.
Yeah. All right, you guys have a good
thanks
one.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, love you. Talk to you.
All right,
what would
you
your
too.
Brother
Bye.
Prefer you called him, if not a lieutenant colonel?
He doesn't like me mentioning his rank. I don't know why he doesn't like that. I think it's very, I know it's very modest of him. He is a very humble human being.
What rank would you have achieved if you had gone into the military service?
Compost. Hey, Chris, I have a question for you.
Sir.
We were trying to figure out the other day, why has First Man not done as well as it should have done?
Because it's a pretty somber film.
It is, isn't it?
It's kind of about death. And so I'm trying to imagine people going, hey, I saw this great movie.
But it is about the first
everybody
man landing
dies.
On the moon. It is. One person died. Three people die.
More,
but, you know. But nobody goes into thinking that this is going to be the Gus Grissom.
There's a few deaths, but mainly it's an art film. And that's they don't want anybody to know that. It is not a Hollywood blockbuster.
It's the somber version of The Right Stuff.
Exactly. And a much shorter version.
And The Right Stuff did not
much
do well.
Much more intimate,
either.
Right?
No, The Right Stuff did not do well.
Because it was like a four-hour movie.
But it's a great four-hour
movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I watch the longer version more often than I will the theatrical version.
And so have you seen First Man yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's, I like the way that there's all these characters that overlap. I mean, you've got two Gus Grissoms. You've got, who's the guy Kyle Chandler plays?
Well, you got Gus Grissom, you've got Alan Shepard, you've got, in fact, Chuck Yeager's in it. Deke Slayton's in it. It's a lot. It basically is a sequel to The Right Stuff.
So it's kind of fun, like, dancing between those two and Apollo 13. They're, like, all talking to each other through time. Very spacey.
Hey, so what do you think of the Amari Cooper signing?
I'm so excited about it.
Excellent.
I can't even tell you, even though I'm a 49ers fan, which means I don't watch football anymore.
Right.
I'm in the NFL witness relocation program.
You are a Bay Area homer.
I am. I'm a homer of many kinds.
You and I had a big difficulty when the A's ran the Rangers out of the...
I was being kind of a a-hole.
Where you were walking around the office wearing your A's gear.
That was before I quit drinking.
Right.
It was ugly.
Before I quit drinking as well.
Chris Wagner, the dark years.
That was pretty grim. Well, there you go. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Robert.
I know it's
having a more abrupt.
But
brush
I know at some point we have to do our show.
Rude.
I just wanted I really just wanted to sit in the mayor's chair. So, I mean, it's good to see you too. And
well, look,
birthday.
I see you every
day.
You just walk past me on your way upstairs.
Our daily conversation consists.
What
of,
up?
What's up?
What's up?
Oh man.
Hey, so before you go though, I do have a couple more questions. So I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet.
You see what?
I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet.
You're like the one person who hasn't seen A Star Is Born yet.
So should I see it?
Yeah.
Do you love it?
I like it a lot.
Did you love it?
I loved parts of it. The first half is amazing. Amazing. The first half is
I keep fearing that Bradley Cooper is just doing a Kris Kristofferson cover version.
Not really. In fact, he likes the version from the 50s. He likes
the
James Mason, Judy Garland version better. So it's, he really, what I like most about it is that he makes it his own thing. And it's hard to do that with a movie that's being made for the fourth time. He's also a damn good director.
Is he really?
Yeah, I mean, and he wrote one of the best songs.
One of
the,
yeah.
He's kind of ridiculously, annoyingly talented. And he's showing it now.
And since you feel guilty, if you want to bring this back to the Cowboys, today in the locker room, Joe Looney started singing songs from A Star Is Born.
Did he really?
Yes. And was raving about Bradley Cooper.
Really?
Yes.
Everybody. See.
What songs was he singing? Shallow? That's the only one I know by name.
He did do that. He did one other one.
The great Jason Isbell wrote one of the songs.
Yes.
One of the best songs.
Just one?
Did he do more than one?
I thought he did two.
Well, Lucas Nelson did some, right?
You might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of... He hired good people.
Before we go, I keep getting texts from the man who actually wrote my resolution, my Robert Walensky Day resolution.
So I want to. You mean the mayor didn't write that?
I want to make sure that I give a shout out to my former colleague Chris and my and all of our former colleague Scott Goldstein.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was also told that he considers this, by the way, his best post journalism work. And seeing how he's the mayor's chief of staff, I can see how that's possible. Also, apparently, current and former editors of mine were also responsible, as was my wife, Mary.
Yay, Mary.
So thanks to all for properly humiliating me on the This Is Your Life birthday.
Why were you glaring at Mary that way?
It's weird, though. It's
the eyes don't lie, Robert.
I'm starting to have this feeling that you all know something about my health that I'm unaware of. Like, this will be it. You made it to 50. 51's not so inevitable.
That's dark, man.
Well, it has been. It has been quite a last 16 months. I did make a lot of jokes about it earlier that I've yet to actually make public. When I first got the word. Three of these people sitting in front of me were there the day it happened.
Then he got to pose topless in the Dallas Morning News.
You know, I'm still unhappy about that because I was told that my face was not going to be in the photos. They were going to do it as the Annie Leibovitz homage to the Warhol photos.
Yeah, we kind of wanted your face not to be in there, too. But
I was hoping. In fact, Harry and I were at the 7-Eleven the Saturday before it ran, and the Bulldog edition was out, the early edition, and it ate up the whole front of the Sunday Metro section.
You must have hated that.
Ask Harry. How did I feel about it? I ran out of the 7-Eleven screaming.
That was the outward response.
I was not happy about it.
Good times.
All right. What's that?
That was the outward response.
What was the inward response?
Oh, joy. Eternal joy.
I should at some point I should read the email I got today from an 81-year-old reader about my photo.
Please.
Just happens to be a big fan of the photograph.
Those are good fans to have.
He really enjoyed it.
No.
16 subscriptions, right? Conversions, as we call them now.
Yeah,
I
got a lot of conversions.
It's all about conversions
right
now.
It's like Jews for Jesus.
I don't think I've converted anybody in my day.
No conversions.
David, have you converted?
Corby, are you leaving?
Anyone yet?
Corby, have you had enough?
There's a microphone.
Oh, sorry.
There's.
Yes.
It's not on, I don't think. Killer handed you a dead mic.
Killer.
Good job, Killer.
Oh. Killer.
Yes,
oh.
Why isn't
it
working?
Still dead.
Oh.
No.
Fixed,
right? Because you're
good. I didn't do it. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Jason and Tony going at it. Oh, my gosh.
What's yours about to kill Tony?
I can hear Mike very well all
one,
of a sudden.
One, two.
That's the weirdest part.
Oof.
Thank you boys for sticking around.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've had enough of your celebration.
So have I.
We can't handle it anymore.
If I'd have known,
I know.
If I'd have known.
Well, that's the beauty of it. If you would have known any of this, you wouldn't have shown up.
No, I would not have.
Right.
Enough of your celebration and of you.
Yeah.
Boys, I'm excited that you were here. It's a real thrill to have you both here, especially my leader here, Michael Reiner. You know how much you mean to me? You know that I've grown
You know
up?
How much you mean to me and everybody else here in our Fairburg?
No, you're the man.
Nobody has done more for this place than you.
That's in the civic treasure.
At this table.
Civic treasure.
Yeah.
I feel so in the way right now.
Hey, Robert, we have another guest on hold for you right now.
Please. Oh, we do? Oh,
yes, sir.
Oh, well, please patch them through. Who could this be? Hello? Hello, guest.
Hello, mystery guest.
Is this a mystery guest who we got to...
I am a mystery guest, yes.
To remove a restraining order against Robert Walensky? Is this
Charlie Waters?
Yeah. Yes, you know what really real friends are? Friends are people that know everything about you and still like you.
That's true.
That's the kind of friend that I am to you, Robert.
Charlie, I appreciate that, man. It's a real honor to have you on this very special occasion, sir. And just for that, I'll take the poster down tonight.
Which one, though?
Oh, you know the one.
Oh, I know the one.
You know the one.
I know the one. Hi, Charlie. How are you, bud?
Who needs Farrah Fawcett when you have Charlie Waters on the wall?
Right.
Or the ceiling, as in your case.
They were next to each other on the wall. Yeah. I was confused. I was a young, confused man at the time.
You were still working through some things at that time.
Well, he was right next to my Chips poster.
It was Joe Namath first, you know. He had the pantyhose poster.
Yeah, right.
It was Farrah Fawcett.
Well, Charlie, just for this phone call, I will take it down tonight, and I'll roll it up and put it in a tube, and I'll put it in the closet, and I won't look at it very much for the rest of my life.
Well, is that one that's physically signed by me or not?
Have sure.
I signed one for you?
You've never signed one for me, no. Next time you're up at the studio, I will find you, Charlie.
Charlie doesn't work for free, Robert.
I know.
I'm a little bit afraid of this situation, Robert. I'm a little concerned.
Oh, no, it'll be fine. I don't think of you every day.
Well, I was feeling under my feelings for it last week, but you didn't have me on during the Washington week.
I know. I told David we should have had you on during Washington.
You did not mention him at all. Stop it.
You're a liar.
Of course you didn't. You're lying. Of course you didn't.
You're right. I did mention him.
From what I remember from the conversation, I think David said, what does he know about the Redskins rivalry?
Stop
they
it.
Something to that effect,
I hated
Charlie.
Him, and I hated Joe Theismann. Little worm.
The worm.
But now apparently you're very fond of him.
But now you're close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're super tight.
No, gosh. I'm glad y'all are still laughing through it all.
Well, got very few options left at this point.
All right, Charlie, I'm coming home, so I'll see you in about 5 minutes.
That is sick.
Oh, no, it's not.
Okay, well, happy birthday.
Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate it. That's the great Charlie Waters joining us here on Intentional Grounding. It's 8:47, and we have to take a break. I don't know what we're going to do next. I assume it's either a phone call or Cowboys next on the ticket. Welcome back to the longest and sweatiest edition of Intentional Grounding in the 7 years that we've been doing this. I want to thank everybody who's put together what appears to be my farewell show. So thank you for that. P1 Domo said he's really enjoying my farewell show, and I certainly know how that feels. So Intentional Grounding, I keep meaning to say, is brought to you by healthcareforyourcar.com and Carpet and Flooring Liquidators. Also, never got to say hi to Jason Kellison, who produces this show. Jason is sitting right here. I'm sure had something to do with this tonight.
Good evening, Robert. It was all David.
I know David and Michael Thumb, my oldest friends, and Chris Dryling.
Like I said, I fought it. Michael pushed it through. I was fighting it.
No, you weren't.
Yes, there was. Can we stop talking about football now and not make it all about you?
Please, God. So,
We have audio to play.
Matt Birmingham, who's going to be up
the fort.
Matt, are you doing a full top 10 tonight?
No, we're going to do one in the morning. So we'll do a full top 10 starting up at 3:30 tomorrow morning.
So are we keeping you from Josh Groban right across the plaza?
You are, actually.
That's the only reason we didn't want to do the show tonight from there, was because we didn't want to deal with Josh Groban traffic. It's already hot enough for us to park since we don't have any parking spaces. All right, so David, you never got back to my response about how the last 50-some-odd seconds of the game the other day were an exercise in cowardice. I was hoping that we could have that conversation now.
Well, you tweeted that right on deadline because I was about to go down. You texted it, yes. You DM'd me, as I said.
But I never got a response.
Well, and once again, much as he did after the Houston game where he chose to punt on 4th-and-1 in overtime, even upon further reflection 2 days later, Jason Garrett said, no, I would absolutely do it again the same way.
Do you think he just says that or think he actually means it?
No, I think that he would. There would be some equivocation. And while I don't know that he would come out publicly and admit 2 days later that I should have done it differently, he would frame it differently. He would say, these are things we discussed and, you could have done this either way. We discussed this, but we decided to do this. The fact he decisively said, No, this is what we wanted to do. This is what we're going for. And I think in his mind, he still feels, again, it's very interesting because when you ask about the snap infraction on LP Law de Sueur,
right.
And he, while he would not criticize the officials, although given many chances to do so after the game and then in his Tuesday news conference, while he would not criticize the call, he then goes on to say that LP Law de Sueur does not need to change a thing in right. what he does in snapping the ball. They have not told him to change anything. They have told him to continue to do it the way you did it in that game and you have your entire career, which is saying he feels it was a phantom call. Now, are we going to see that again? Was that call only made because a guy jumped off sides? And that is what the official told Jason Garrett at the time, that the way he moved the ball caused the defender to jump off sides. Well, now are other teams in that situation saying, well, what do we have to lose other than 5 yards? Let's go ahead and try it once and see what happens. So we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, but I want to get back to that 53 seconds
sure.
or so.
52 seconds, just crossed midfield. Yeah, you're on the 46.
I just find this, I want to say yeah. I find it inexplicable, but it's Jason Garrett, therefore I find it wholly
It was very explicable.
Yeah. I mean, I find it very, very much in keeping with kind of the way this season has played out.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Is it just the sign that this guy's not worried about losing his job? This is a guy who knows he's going to be here forever regardless, that he has tenure?
I think, to me, a lot of what you saw in that final 52 seconds was lowered expectations of not just what Jason Garrett has in this offense, but what the players themselves on the offensive side of the ball, how they have lowered their expectations about what they can do. I the offensive players I talked to were all on board saying, look, the issue wasn't what we did in the final 4.5 minutes. That was when we were at our best. That's when we were doing what we should have done every single snap. The issue was what we weren't doing earlier in the game. So none of – and look, I understand a player is going to say – that he supports his coach in that situation, even though he may question it. But I didn't get the sense that anyone had any significant issue with how that played out. I think they feel that we did what we needed to do. We were about to score 10 points in the final 4.5 minutes to come back from a deficit. There's no doubt in our mind we would have won in overtime because they weren't going to move the ball, and we were going to be able to move it enough to win. So I think in their minds, their rationale is, we played this exactly the way we needed to play it. But I will say, I think it's very telling that no one says, well, yeah, we could have taken a few more shots deeper. If they didn't work out, so what? We were still going to get close enough into field goal range. The fact that no one says that and no one was pushing to do that, I think shows the lowered expectations that they have for this offense. And again, we've now seen 4 of the 7 games, they've been held to 17 points or less. And I think, while I think on a certain psychological level, they've accepted they're not a very good offensive team at the moment. And you know what? If we can score 10 points in the final 5 minutes to get a tie, that's pretty good.
Look,
with our defense, we can still win it.
Given the way that the last few minutes unfolded with Dak fumbling, the touchdown sure. getting scored, and then coming back and scoring that quick
and
touchdown.
I think they thought they had no chance, and then they suddenly
right.
got
suddenly
back into
they had
it.
A chance.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand why you don't.
But at that
press
point,
on.
Why don't you
why
exactly?
don't you press on? Because you have overcome what seemed to be an insurmountable.
Psychologically, why don't you say, we shouldn't even be in this position, let's go for the win right now, versus, hey, we might have climbed ourselves back into this game, so let's see how it plays out.
That's what I don't understand, and that's why I texted you, because
yeah.
It's not even shocking, it's just galling.
See, I don't know if it's a cowardice attitude, but I think it's a defeatist attitude on one level, if that makes sense.
Well, no, that's what I'm at.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I buy the defeatist.
Yeah.
And that's no way to coach. That's no.
No.
If if you are going to be a defeatist, why even bother?
And when clearly you're at this stage where you're a mediocre team who is now 0-4 on the road, and your last two road games you had chances to win and reverse the course of what this season may be, and then you don't take either one of those chances now. How are you going to live with that at the end of the season when this thing plays out?
So how then do you think this impact? Obviously, it came right before the bye. They now have this Amari Cooper trade. They have the signing, not the trade, although they did trade away the first round pick. What do you expect to see from this team when they come out of this bye? Because I'm just trying to sort of fathom between the... You've given away the future by betting on this present which isn't very good
certainly
to begin with.
Certainly is not, which is not assured by any means.
In fact, it's so not assured, the fact that this team basically said that the way it played the last 52 seconds of last week.
Well, and I think they look at it and go, you know what, with this defense, with where everyone else is in the NFC, we still haven't played ourselves out of it. Let's go all in and play ourselves into it.
They've just played themselves.
We'll see.
They just think that they can win this division.
Well, that gets you in the playoffs if you win the division.
Sure. But you're going to get destroyed by anybody you face after that.
Well, it would appear so with what you're going right now. Yeah. Is it because, look, it's too early to say what impact Amari Cooper is going to have for the remainder of this season or going forward, although it better be significant. But let's put that aside for a moment. The more fleeting temporal impact is that he has changed the narrative. He has changed the mood surrounding this team at the moment, because if this trade had not taken place, it was 15 days between the loss in Washington before they're going to play Tennessee at home on Monday night. Those 15 days would have been a section of what is wrong with this team, how it's not equipped to win, why did they assemble this group, why did they not realize that this receiving corps couldn't do it. And at least now, by bringing him in, you have shifted the narrative to more of an anticipation of what could be rather than a realization of what they are. And I think that's going to help them a little bit in the locker room. I think it's going to diffuse or deflect some of the criticism. Not all, but I think it's going to diffuse it, because you're not just going to talk about what they haven't been. You're going to go, well, now what can they be offensively in these last 9 games? Can he make enough of a difference? Is there enough there to where we see something? And you don't know yet. And so there's an anticipation, whereas if you hadn't have brought Amari Cooper in right now for 15 days, there wouldn't be an anticipation about what's going to happen.
No,
there would be an expectation that this season's over.
So what? How much of bringing Amari Cooper in is about what he can do versus what he frees up Ezekiel Elliott to do?
Well, I think that's the other thing. I think they got and look, this is 2 of the last 3 games where Ezekiel Elliott has been shut down in the run game, and the passing attack has still been only able to generate 17 points, and again against Houston, right, it was only 13 points. So they've only done 30 points in these last 2 road games when Ezekiel Elliott has been shut down. So, again,
because they know they
ownership.
Don't have, they know they don't have to stop. They don't,
no,
they know,
exactly.
They can put every guy up front.
Sure, sure. But here's the disturbing thing. Washington didn't put every guy up front. There weren't as many 9-man boxes as some people will tell you in that game. Babe Blaufenberg was quoting today, and he'd gone back and he went through the tape, and he said, look, a lot of this, I don't want to hear all this 8- and 9-man box.
Really?
It was, you look at most of these plays, it was just hat on hat, as they like to say in football, and the Cowboys accounted for every defender. They just weren't winning those battles. And the most disturbing thing about the game was, all the players offensively came out in the first 3 road losses talking about how communication was a significant issue, especially with the play of the offensive line. All of them came out of that game saying communication wasn't a problem whatsoever in this game. We were all on the same page. That means that this line was just overpowered. It means communication had nothing to do with it. And that's more disturbing than saying there were breakdowns across the line.
Right. So, look, this is a fresh start for Cooper. This is a fresh start for the Cowboys. I think you have some audio that basically discusses that very subject.
Yes, we do. So let's go to our fresh start audio.
It feels great. Just feels like a fresh start. Just like freshman year in college or something like that.
Is that it?
As someone pointed out today.
That's it.
He's not
the chattiest
guy.
He's
not effusive. He is not effusive, no.
I thought I had time to take a bite of cake.
We did.
We set you up there. I'm sorry.
The audio said fresh start, so I was like, all right. I didn't realize that's all he was going to say was fresh start.
That was one of his longer sound bites, actually.
We can talk about how good he is at adapting. That's a longer cut.
No, I'm good at adapting to situations, so it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't really nothing too bad.
was it? Better?
How about working with Dak?
Sure.
So we got some reps in today, route running on air, and then a couple reps in some team periods, and I really like the way he throws the ball. It's a good ball.
Did you know that he played against Dak?
He throws a good ball.
Shut up. I knew of Dak a long time. I played against him at Alabama. He played at Mississippi State, Heisman candidate and all that. So, you know, obviously there's that. You know, the talent aspect is there.
I really like the cadence. I like his cadence. There's something about it that's very alluring, very hypnotic.
Can we hear more of that cadence, Jason?
Are you curious about what he feels like the spotlight in Dallas might be like?
I couldn't be more.
I don't know how that is here. I've never experienced it, so I couldn't tell you.
Happy birthday, Robert.
You're the one who wanted to talk football.
Hey, before we wrap this up here, so I just wanted to say thanks to the man who helped make this responsible. Michael's always, it's his dream to be on the ticket. So it took, you just basically used my birthday to get on the ticket, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
So this is Michael Thumb, one of my oldest friends. Michael, thank you for putting this together.
My pleasure.
It's
you deserve it.
I know you're supposed to be at a fundraiser for the Holocaust Museum.
That's right. I sent Sherry.
So that's why, I guess, you told me you were going to show up to this, and you did, and I really appreciate it. It means the world, and this is, like I said, I wasn't really looking forward to celebrating this day. But you managed to make it quite worthwhile. You and David here and my wife and my family and the mayor and Don Henley. I want to thank everybody who was a part of this very special occasion. Thank you, Dr. Chris Dreiling, for being here. Thanks to everybody. So, David, Michael, thanks. You're a,
happy birthday.
You're a special friend, my friend.
Happy birthday.
I'll get you. All right, David. So we're going to wrap this up. We'll be back next week at our normal time.
Sure. If you say so.
On Halloween. I can only imagine what we have stored there.
Jason has already told us he will not be joining us for Halloween.
You have trick-or-treating.
I have trick-or-treating.
I remember those days well.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to driving home very carefully on next Wednesday night. So thanks to everybody who was involved. Thanks to the mayor. Thanks to Don Henley. Thanks to all the folks.
Charlie Waters.
Charlie
your sister-in-law.
Waters, my sister-in-law. I'm
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper. Thanks most of all to Amari Cooper. He's loquacious. He's engaging. He's engaged. He is your new Cowboys number one wide receiver.
By default.
And David and I will be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus station.